So welcome back. Well, most of you actually didn't leave, but we have one more short session, and we will. Our goal is to get you out at 12:30, as stated. So we'll make this quick. But hopefully you've had a good morning so far. I know at various points I just wanted to stand up and say, "Yes, Lord Jesus, you are amazing. God's word is incredible." One thing we do want to mention is we don't ever want to give the impression that we would expect people to take home the practice worksheet and now go use that every day in their Bible reading. There's more questions there than we would necessarily give someone to do in their reading. One thing we do believe, though, is how can we help God's people to read God's Word on a regular basis? So one thing we do have is a phone app. If you haven't heard of it, it's called Reading for Hope. It's only available on Apple at this time, but it's called Reading for Hope. And the questions that are on there are the same type of questions that you're going to find on the worksheets. We encourage you to ask 4 questions per day, and it's one question from each of those steps. And we try to mix up, the questions are very mixed up. Each question is actually tied to some sort of a principle that we're trying to teach people and how to read God's Word without necessarily telling you. So we're trying to train people how to intuitively ask the right questions when you come to the text. So that's available for you for free if you want. Another thing we're wanting to do is within the next month or so here, we would like to gather some people that have been to Around the Word workshop to try to brainstorm with them what are some ways that we can help, after a workshop, help men and women to continue to grow in their reading. And they've tossed around ideas, if that's using social media in a certain way or gathering certain groups in a certain way, what can we do? We also have not only these longer workshops, but we have a short that will happen in the spring, so keep your eyes out for that. Tell friends that you know of that you think would benefit from just growing and learning how to read God's Word. So be on the lookout for that. Can't promise anything, but we're hoping that by the new year, we would have at least one new thing to say. Hey, we're going to give this a shot. If you want to join us, come check it out. And so we'll be sending out an email to people that have been to a workshop. And if you don't want to receive our emails, which we don't actually send out, except for, I don't think we ever have, but just tell us that you don't want it. But as I say that, if you hear that and say, hey, I have some ideas that you might want to consider, and if you want to be a part of that, feel free to email myself or Julie, who sent out that email response to you, and we'll get you on the list and the meeting time that we're going to do that. Cool. All right, we're going to do one more principle here, and here's the picture for it. So that is a seed to, I guess that looks like a huge, massive sprout, but that should be a lot smaller compared to the tree, because the tree should be a lot bigger, right? But that's what it is. So from a seed to a sprout to a tree, what we want to talk about is application received. And here's the kind of statement of the principle. Just as God's people must apply themselves to the text, so the text applies itself to God's people. So there's, in other words, what we're saying, well, let me say it again just so you hear it. Just as God's people are to apply themselves to the text, so God's text or God's word applies itself to God's people. In other words, there's really two types of application. There's application practiced, that's us applying ourselves to the text, and there's application received, that's the text applying itself to us. All right, so application practice is the James 1:21, right? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Jesus says in John 14, remember, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? Philippians, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We are commanded to apply ourselves to the text. Yet, there's also the sense that the text actually applies itself to us, right? So it goes like this. If you want to grow a big, strong, healthy tree, what do you do as the gardener? Or there's a technical term for someone that cares for trees. What is it? Arborist. If you're a arborist, what are you going to do to grow a big, nice, healthy, strong tree? Well, you're going to plant the seed to start with, right? You'll water it. You'll prepare the soil however you want to and or need to, and you'll probably be plucking some weeds along the way. You got to prune the tree so that that's helpful for the tree.
Put a fence around it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, keep the rest. But eventually, you kind of run out of things, right? Eventually, there's only so much you can do, and it's up to something else in order for the tree to grow. You cannot ultimately make that tree grow. You can do some things, but you can't make it grow. And so it is with God's people. We can place our heart before the Word of God. We can seek to put the Word of God in action. But ultimately, a lot of spiritual growth is not up to us. And there's something else going on that we need to trust in and say, there's things going on underneath the soil, right? Just like the tree. So if you got your Bible, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I'll go ahead and read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is. It's the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Just a couple things to notice here about the Word of God, how it describes itself. The Word of God is at work. It goes to work. Does it go to work in everybody?
No.
No, it says specifically who it goes to work in, and that's in believers. It's pretty much like the parable of the sower, too, right? It goes to work in good soil, and it produces good fruit. Psalm chapter 1. Verses 1 to 3, I'll just read it. You can listen in. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, on his word, he meditates day and night. This man will be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that it does, he prospers. Right? These are two very clear promises of the Word of God, what the Word of God does in God's people. The one who meditates on the law of God, the Word of God is going to come in and it's going to make them like a tree that's by streams of water. Right? A tree out in the desert is in a bad place, right? But a tree by the river is going to grow healthy. So, we must strive to apply ourselves to God's text. But in some sense, I would want to encourage us, we need to take ourselves a little bit less serious. Take the Word of God serious. The Word of God promises to grow God's people. And in some sense, you can just take your hands off. I don't want to say that too loosely, because we do have to apply the text. But we need to take ourselves less serious and trust that God's Word is actually going to do that in us. And our role in this process, this is simply place ourselves before the Word of God. And say, do it, God. Do it again. Do it again. A lot of this is kind of a drip, 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 right? We like immediate results in our culture. Most of this is moment, moment, moment filling, right? It's like, a tree. I know you've seen this. You're walking along the sidewalk, and it's nice. Then all of a sudden, you hit a piece of the sidewalk that goes like that, right? And you look over, and there's a tree root that has lifted sidewalk. Now, can you imagine how many people it would take to lift one of those pieces of sidewalk? Those things got to be so heavy. But somehow, a tree has been able to lift that sidewalk. Did it do it one day? No, it took probably 2 decades. And that's what the Word of God does in God's people. It's just drip by drip by drip by drip. So I just want to take a look at a couple other passages, but I'm going to hand them out. And what I want you to look for, and then we're going to collect some data real quick, are just the promises of what God's Word says God's Word will do in God's people. Okay? So I want these two tables to look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Those two tables in the back do Psalm 19, 7, and 8. These two tables can do 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, and this table, Romans 15, 4. This shouldn't take that long. Just collect a list. Some of you have a list, and some of you just might have just one thing. All right. Hopefully that's enough. They're pretty straightforward, but let's just start over here and collect all the list of what God's Word said it will do in God's people. So just go ahead and name some for us.
Teach.
Great. Teach us. Okay. What's that?
Rebuke.
Something we may not want, but we need. What else?
Correct.
Correct.
Give us hope.
Oop. That's from Romans 15:4 here. Which, incidentally, reading for hope comes from that passage, by the way. Because Scripture promises hope to God's people. This is 2 Timothy 3:16 is these ones. Did you have more on the 2 Timothy passage?
Equip us,
yeah. Good. All right. Are we on to the next one? Psalm 19? What did you guys have?
Makes us wise.
Yeah. What else?
Gives us joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revives
our soul. What a beautiful statement. That's all of it, right? Okay, Romans 15:4 we got. Produce gives us hope. And then the Peter passage. Or is that you guys? Okay.
Grow
us in our salvation. Just like a baby grows from milk, it says. This is the metaphor.
Yeah, so
it's just an interesting picture that he paints. You know, the beginning part he talks about at the end of chapter 1, saying that the word of God will never perish. And then and by that word you came to faith, and now you came into salvation. And then he says, now, just like a newborn baby needs milk to live, so too you go to the word of God, so that you may now grow in your salvation.
Okay.
So you've been brought into salvation by the Word of God. Now you grow in your salvation through the Word of God. Yeah. Great. So, I mean, take a look at these promises that God's Word promises to you today, that God's Word will do in you. He will grow you like a fruitful tree. It will work in you, teach you, rebuke you, correct you, give you hope, equip you, make you wise, give you joy, gives you light, grows you in your salvation, and revives your soul. I don't know a single person in the world that doesn't want that. Right? That is what we want. Those are incredible promises, and that is application received. That is what God's Word just promises it will do in us. Now, I know if you're a follower of Christ, you want that. But I also know we struggle to get into God's Word, right? This should be enough to just get us and say, okay, I'm going to make a regular practice of reading God's Word, right? Because you want that. And how do we get this except for keeping our nose in the book, right? That's what we need. But yet, come Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon, you and I struggle to actually get there. Right? So that's just the reality. And worse even sometimes is sometimes you don't even have the desire to do that. That's where we live, right? It's just reality. Now that's, I think, common for God's people. Actually, there's a psalm, Psalm 119, that the psalmist is crying out to God, give me joy Jesus is the cry. Give me joy in your word. Give me understanding. Give me a heart that longs for this. This is the cry of God's people. So what I want to do for the last 10 minutes roughly is just collect a list of some tips that we can give one another so that we would become more consistent readers of God's word. God's word is our lifeline if we want to have hope and want to have joy. So how can we help one another? Just give some tips. This could be a mindset that can help us, or a practical thing like, hey, I've done this, and that has helped me be more consistent in God's word. Make sense? So somebody can go ahead and get us started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 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 So you're almost like giving yourself reward, and you're not really giving your. Yeah. 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 So if you didn't hear in the back, she doesn't allow herself to watch shows or do anything until she reads the Word of God. So no Bible, no breakfast type of thing, right? Well, that's where we'll put that. Yeah.
You gotta eat, so you could put it like with God before worldly
things. Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't sound as cool as no Bible, no breakfast. So yeah, it's just a tip. That's just a tip. You don't have to take it. Yeah.
Oprah says she has to get herself a prayer chair and a shawl. And so she sets the seat, and she sees that chair, and goes there and reads the word.
Yeah.
You know, she's got her prayer chair.
Yeah, so there's this idea of...
A space.
What's that? Yeah, a space.
Prayer closet.
We are creatures of habit, right? And the more you can, if this type of person you are, the more you can do that, be a person of habit, the more it's going to help you. So, you know, I get up the same time every day, and I usually know exactly what I'm going to be reading the night before, and sometimes I put my Bible out. I know some people that always put like their blanket at this chair before they go to bed. All they're doing is just trying to get themselves in this habit of, that's my Bible space, that's where I'm going to go. You're just getting yourself in a habit. Great tip. Yeah.
I have a plan, so I know what I'm reading.
Great.
And I don't have to think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very good. Otherwise, it can be hard. You just sit down and go, yeah, what am I going to read today? But that's good. Yep. And we'll go here and then back there.
I'm a list maker, and I truly do put devotion first.
Yeah. So would that kind of fit on?
I'm sitting there reading a devotion.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we'll leave it under no Bible, no breakfast. Is that good? Or put it on the tack. It's on the to-do list. There you go. Yeah, that's good. Now, here's the thing. Like, some people hear that, and that feels very legalistic to them. So I would encourage you to rethink that if that's you, because I think there's a very clear way to do this in a way that's very God-honoring. So it would go like this. You say, God, okay, I don't even feel like reading God's word today. It's on my to-do list, and I'm going to do it. Not because it's going to make me a better Christian, or I'm going to be more like your child today, or you're going to like me more, or you're going to keep accepting me, but because I believe those promises in your word, that you would give me hope. And even if I don't feel it right now, even if I don't get anything from this reading, I'm going to do it because I believe you and trust you, and therefore I'm going to read it and cross it off my to-do list. But that's why, I think there's a very God-honoring way to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that helps me because it already has, a plan for you. It has a time set aside. And you can make sure that you're not just reading it and not getting everything that you could be getting out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Community Bible reading, that is just one of the greatest tips out there. It's accountability. And you are going to learn more from the Word of God than just reading it by yourself. Reading it by yourself is good. I think you should do that. But reading it with other people, hopefully you experienced that today and last night, you learn. It's great. Yeah.
One of the ways that helps keep me accountable is I have a lot of friends that will text each other what we're getting out of God's Word.
Yeah.
Something that stood out to us and how it encouraged us or gave us hope. And so when a friend will send me something, then I'm like, oh, that's so true. And then it gives, it like stirs up a hunger and thirst inside of me to do the same thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Iron sharpening iron.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, God making our needs clear. I found that when he puts a need on my heart, I go to the Word. Because, you know, often there is no better way to approach a problem. And and if I have a real need, I'm motivated.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you're like letting the need drive you to the Word. So somehow you've developed that habit. I feel need. I need. That means I go to the Word. Yeah.
So pray for a need.
Yeah.
Or maybe a theological question or something that you're working on.
Yeah. That's good. Just include it there. And you had one?
Mine kind of piggybacks on that. I have specific women I disciple, and when you have someone else to keep accountable to,
yeah,
because they're the ones who are going to raise those theological questions,
yeah,
who are going to question your faith,
yeah,
that keeps me super duper in the Word.
Because yeah,
I don't want to tell them what Rebecca thinks. I want to tell them what God's Word says.
Yeah, that's great. So I'll just have a Timothy or Kathleen or something for a woman, I guess. So Timothy meaning younger. Or younger in the faith, or someone you're discipling. We'll go here and then and back here.
And as you're decompressing at night, you can start with a prayer and a gratitude list, and then the God's Word.
Mm. Yeah.
It will just help you stop the chaos in your brain.
Yeah.
And start reading.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. This might not be what you're saying, but I'm going to see if it is. It's kind of, well. No, I'll just say what you said. So I'm just going to put before bed. Well, maybe it would be worth it, because I think even just like letting your, like realizing when your best times are. Some of us, so for me, I'm really good in the morning. I'm terrible at night. Once I hit about 2-3 o'clock, I start going downhill, and by the time the kids get to bed, I got like nothing left, right? And so I just like, I got about an hour and a half and I'm out. Other people, like my buddy Ryan, he wakes up about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and he's about ready to go. So it's just, it's knowing yourself, and then using that time wisely. So I know I'm better in the morning. So for me, that means not just for Bible reading, but for all of life, then, I need to not stay up late, because I'm actually, my morning time is going to be worse now, because I'm kind of pilfering away time at the end, right? It's not a good time for me. So just knowing that, and if you know a time that you're good, that's a good time to read the Word, because you'll be attentive, be focused. That's a good time for you. So if it's before bed, I know many people that read before bed, and I know many that do it in the morning too. Yeah.
Memorizing scripture and then kind of go over it in your mind.
Yeah.
And you can do that in different places.
Yeah. That's really good. Really good. Yeah.
When the paper to be like getting to the Word every day is seeing God answer my prayers.
Mm.
Seeing other people that I'm praying for consistently, and then seeing their lives and seeing how God is working in them, it makes me want to go. I'm like a really big journal. I write everything down on a sheet of, I write everything in my journal. I have lots of journals. But that encourages me to be like, I have to get in my Bible.
Yeah.
I have to get in the Word of God, because I really want to see God do something really great here.
Yeah.
And so when I'm actively doing that, it excites me. It's like, if I skip a day, I'm like, something happened during the day that I really want
to see. Yeah, that's good.
I really want to see God work.
It's good. I haven't heard someone make that clear of a connection between like just simply the practice of praying actually fuels my Bible reading life. That's good. That's good. We'll do one more, or we'll do these two, and then we'll wrap up here.
I'm listening to a dramatized version of the movie.
Yeah.
And that encourages
That's excellent.
Me to be eager after I hear the dramatized version.
That's what it's called?
It's called the Bible Experience.
The Bible Experience. Is that on a phone app? Do they have that, or how are you getting that?
There's a CD collection.
Okay.
First of all, and I know some of it is on YouTube.
Okay, YouTube.
Bible Gateway.
You can check the NIV dramatized. Okay, great. So you hear those, Bible Gateway, that, and then
the
Bible Experience. Great, yeah. And that goes along with just like even just translation, different, changing your translation sometimes can be really, really helpful. Just give you different insights and get you excited. Was there one more over here? Oh.
But now I've learned, like, you can talk to God whenever. So just, like, involving God in everything, whether it's trouble with the coworker or you're at work and maybe something's getting stressed out. Like, literally just talking, like, you know, people say, like, oh, my God. But we can really say
that. Yeah, yeah. Right.
We mean it.
Yeah. 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 Amen. Yeah, so I'll just leave that up there with the prayer. That's excellent. And I'll share one that I oftentimes tell people. I find I can say my wife actually had to get home, but I know she's okay with me sharing this. I went to seminary, and when I came to faith, I just loved reading the Bible. And I always have. Of course, I have dull times too, just like everybody. But a couple of years ago, we started reading more daily, a couple times a week, four times a week, roughly, together, which was just, in general, community reading, really good. But we learned how to do it, asking more of these types of questions, so I didn't become like Teacher Dan, you know. So we asked like the types of questions that are on the worksheet on the Reading for Hope app. But part of the thing that really helped her in her Bible reading to be consistent and gain more was to realize that her expectations were way off. She started reading the Bible with me and found that my Bible reading is really dull most of the time. It's pretty ordinary. Now, when I talk to people and I'm showing some insight I had, I might have had that 4 years ago and I've thought on it for a long time. I'm not getting that every day, right? Most of my Bible reading is like, oh, cool. Like, let's get on with breakfast. There usually nothing huge is happening, and I'm totally okay with that because I believe in the drip, 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 drip effect. That's how God grows His people. I think a lot of times we get this misplaced view, expectation that I'm only going to, like, something neat has to happen, or I have to get something out of the Word every day, or I have to have this powerful moment. I just don't think that's normal. And many times we would get to the end, and it took several months, and she'd be like, don't you feel like you have to find the answer to that question, or isn't there something new that you learned? And no, I feel fine. It's the drip drip, and God's going to do that. That's God's promise to you as a follower of Christ.
Can you limit yourself to a certain amount of paragraphs or times or pages or how do you do it?
At different times, so the plan, somebody said a plan. I do different things, and that's another thing that I found. I kind of get bored with doing the same thing over and over, so sometimes I like to read large chunks, you know, 4 to 20 chapters at a time, sometimes just a paragraph, and that's it. And so part of that's depending on my schedule, what I have allowed, but then some of it's just depending on what type of season I'm in. So I like to vary translation and plan, a lot as I'm able. So, well, Andrew Peterson, I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a Christian artist or singing artist. He's got a song out there, and it's called Mountains on the Ocean Floor. It's about a man who has fallen again in his fight in addiction. And the song quickly pulls you in because you realize, oh, that's me. I mean, how many times have I said, what? I failed again? Is there never any growth in me? When am I going to come out of this? Why do I keep doing this? And the song goes on to say that there's mountains that grow on the ocean floor. And it's about these volcanoes that they're erupting every now and then. They keep growing. And eventually, it pops out of the sea and becomes actually an island. And the point is that deep down beneath our skin, there's work going on that you can't see. It's God's word going in his people and doing something beautiful, shaping us into the image of his son. Now, we may not see it, but one day that is going to burst forth and bear fruit and shine for the glory of Christ. And I want to read to you the final verse of the song. And it goes like this. There are mountains on the ocean floor. They're rising from the deep where no one ever sees. There are mountains, and they're hidden there beneath the waves. They're moving up so slow. No one ever knows. There's a molten heart of stone that is waiting to explode, and only God can see it grow. May God grant to each of us a more consistent life in the Word. That is our lifeline, and I promise you, as God's Word does to you, there is more work going on than you ever know by the power of God's Word inside of you. God grows you from the inside out that we may shine as children of light. Let me pray and then we are through. God, thank you once again that you have not stood far off, but you have come close in the person of Christ, and you have given us your Word to communicate to us, and we even have it in our language. I pray, God, that you would produce in us an ever-increasing zealous or zeal for the Word of God, and that these tips would help each one of us to be more consistent. And God, we trust your Word to shape us and grow us, and we thank you that you've been with us and ask that you'd bless the rest of our time today. Prepare us for a meeting with your people tomorrow in our respective local assemblies. In the name of Christ, amen.